Good morning. Thank the Lord that He has allowed us to come and be in this meeting. And we desire your prayers. Do you realize that today is the first day of the rest of your life? We cannot do anything about yesterday. But we can work with today. There are some people here this morning that has had many yesterdays. And there are some of you that have not had as many. And we have young people here that have had even less. But in all of those yesterdays, I want to ask a question. How many messages have you heard? There's no way that we can even count them. We've been a blessed people.
Yes.
We've been blessed to hear the Word of God in its truth and in its fullness.
Thank the Lord.
So we are counting our blessings today, but we do want us to consider there is a term that we could say. We could become gospel hardened. We could become so accustomed to the routine that we have. We have our camp meetings and our revival meetings. We need to consider our regular services and value them. Value the time that we have on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And those are valuable times. So you and I must sometimes shake ourselves and shake off the cares of life that may try to invade our minds to where we may be thinking of what's going to happen tomorrow rather than what is happening today, for tomorrow we do not have yet. So those of us that are here and we've been raised around the truth or in the truth or in the church, we've experienced all of the camp meetings. You know, isn't God good that He has a plan like this?
Amen.
Thank the Lord. Monarch. Monarch was always very special to me. When I was a girl, I thought when I would go to Monarch, if I could live at Monarch every day, I could live for the Lord. But you know what? You can live for the Lord away from Monarch.
Amen.
But we do like to go there and get filled up, don't we?
Yes.
So I thank the Lord this morning that the Lord has chosen this method. And in reality, you know what the Scripture says. It's a foolish method to save those that will believe. May be foolish in the eyes of some. But as the message was last night, we're wise to accept it.
Yes.
God hath chosen a number of foolish things to confound the wise. The Scripture says He has chosen weak things to confound the mighty. That He has chosen base things. That He has done it that no flesh should glory in His presence. Thank the Lord. We don't want to glory in the presence of the Lord. He said He will not share His glory with any man. So the gospel messages that you and I have heard that has been many different voices, hasn't it? Different people, different personalities, different deliveries. We're used to that. We may recognize callings and individual callings by their ministries. But the Scripture says they're all with the same Spirit, or by the same Spirit. Thank the Lord. Kinds of messages that you and I have been so privileged to hear. We have received many warnings. Have we not?
Yes.
We have received messages that appeal to us. We need to be awake. There is a scripture over in the Old Testament, and it says it like this, and I have spoken it to the congregation there different times, and I have to demonstrate it in the fervency of my spirit, like I think the spirit of it is. And it says this: awake! Awake, O Zion! We're in a time where we need to be awakened. And we don't need to say it like this: wake up. We need to get everyone's attention. And I believe the Lord is doing that. I believe He is doing all that He can to awaken Zion,
yes,
the church of God. Lord, help us. But we have not only received warnings, but we have received instruction, and we have received admonition and correction and challenges. We've been fed. Have we been fed? Isn't there a command that says for the minister to search out words to feed the flock?
Yes.
That's a command.
Yes.
We're not here to entertain. I don't have anything to entertain you with this morning. These other ministers are not entertainers. That's not our purpose. The purpose is for the Holy Spirit to work among us and in us and through us,
yes,
to awaken us,
amen,
to shake us. Because I don't remember who said it last night. Maybe Brother Marty said it in his message. Someone said it. 2017 is a time for us to wake up. It's an important year. We don't know what the end of this year is. We don't know when the Lord is going to come. We feel it in our spirit that the Lord is going to come. That time is running out. We know what the Scripture says, that Satan knows his time is short.
Yes.
We believe that. We see it. We see his working, his efforts to hinder the work of God.
Yes.
So time is running out. And so the Lord is still sending the messages to His people, young and old. I'm glad for the young people. I'm glad for the middle-aged. And I'm glad to be numbered with the old. I've reached that age. It's okay. It's okay. I used to say I didn't want to get old. But I guess I want to. Thank the Lord. So all that the Lord has given to His people has been for a prophet. Jesus, I want to speak about His ministry just a little bit. How He got the people's attention. He did it through parables. Through life lessons, you might say. Through situations that were around the people, that they were familiar with. And it opened up their understanding, and they needed something to awakened them for their age. And most of us here are not farmers. And yet, Jesus used a number of parables that had to do with, as we have already heard, planting and reaping and things that had to do with farming.
Yes.
So we would need some things that we could relate to. And this morning, I want to give us a parable of life. You'll turn with me to Psalms 127. I want this scripture to remain in our minds if possible. Verses 1 and 2, it says, Psalms. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Number 2, it is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late and to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. You know, what that means is that you and I don't need to get caught up in the cares of life and forget who the builder really is and our dependence upon him. We are totally dependent upon the Lord to make it.
Amen.
To hear those words that Brother Michael was speaking of this morning. Well done.
Yes.
We're dependent.
Amen.
So if you will keep this in your mind just a little bit, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. So this morning I'd like to talk to you about some houses. By the help of the Lord. There is an old song that's entitled, This Old House.
Yes.
And some of the words in the first verse of that, it says, "Once this old house once knew my children. This old house had joy and laughter. This old house heard many a shout." Now, the writer of this was thinking of this earthly tabernacle. We could relate it to our homes. We hope that our homes have laughter and joy and even shouting. But the chorus says this, I ain't gonna need this house no longer. Ain't gonna need this house no more. Ain't got time to fix the shingles. Ain't got time to fix the door. Ain't got time to oil the hinges, nor to mend the window panes. Ain't gonna need this house no longer. I'm getting ready to meet the saints. I don't like that word ain't, but that's part of the songs. So the writer here is seeing his earthly house coming down to the close of his life. And so some of us are maybe seeing the far side of the mountain too. And it doesn't matter if we are young or old. All of us may die at some point. We will give an account for the deeds done in our body. It's what the scripture says. And the young can die as well as the old. The old, we know, will die. The young, there's people that say you can go to the cemetery and you can find every length of grave from a baby up. So life and death is really what's important. But I believe the Lord has some little life lessons He would like to get our attention about our earthly house, about being prepared, being ready, living the life that we've heard in the messages all of our life. Messages that warned, messages that taught, messages that admonished.
Yes.
Lord, bring them back to our minds and stir our spirits and cause us to walk in the way.
Amen.
So the first house I'm going to tell you about, and I'm going to say it this way, if it could be called a house, for actually this was more like a mansion. And we made numerous trips down to Texas in those years, 40 years ago. Family was down there, and so we made that trip down I-35 a number of times. We saw this huge mansion being built. It was almost like a castle. It was so big. Well, over the years, we continued to observe it as we would make those trips. I think somebody else knows about it.
Never got finished.
Never got finished. The house stood there empty, didn't have the windows in it, and so year after year, we would observe this and wonder what's happened to the people that dreamed about this house. After a while, after a number of years, the vines began to grow over this house. Trees, little trees. You know when you need to pull up little trees, don't you? When they're seedlings. You don't wait until they're as tall as the roof. Then it's a task. The trees began to grow up around this house or mansion or castle. Somebody had a dream, and they thought it was going to really be just what they wanted. Well, that house is still there, as far as I know. Have you been down there lately?
No, I fly away anymore. So no, I haven't been by there in years, maybe.
We're going to be coming back by there, so I'll know for sure.
Okay.
When we head home. But as far as I know, that house is still sitting there. It's probably been 40 years. Would you say 40? At least 40?
Well, it started, I thought, after I married my wife, and that was in 83.
Well,
it's been 30-something.
Anyway, it's old. And it still is in an unfinished condition. What happens is that birds begin to lodge in the house and other varmints, and they begin to destroy, and the whole house is deteriorated and is not even inhabitable for people. So if Jesus were to be here, and if he were to go down I-35, and if he happened to see this house, as he sometimes did, he would see a fig tree that did not have any fruit on it, and he stopped right there, and he began to teach his disciples some life lessons. What would he say about this house? Well, I think I have a scripture. Luke, the 14th chapter, and we're going to read 27 through 30, I think. Let's see. Oh, Luke 14 and 27. I may have written this down wrong, as I sometimes do. I want the scripture, and it may be in another book. Of yes,
that's the next verse, 28.
Okay, sorry. For which of you, thank you, brother. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Well, here we have a house that is a good parable. But it's a life lesson for you and me. You and me, we can start out. We can lay a foundation. We can put up the walls. We can have great plans. We can have dreams. I want to live for the Lord. And I want to do it till the end of my life. Did you know there is something you have to do in order to finish?
Yes.
You've got to count the cost.
That's true.
You've got to take life seriously and face it in reality. Young people, if you hope to see the end of your life and hear those words, well done, you'll have to go all the way.
Amen.
And not just you, but us all.
That's right.
We're going to have to count the cost. And then it says, lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all that behold it begin to mock. You know what happens when someone backslides? And maybe the people on the job observe that. They observe the changes in a person's life that was once living for the Lord. It causes them to mock.
Yes.
Well, if they can't live it, I can't live it. It takes away their hope. You and I must end. We must fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. And there's no stopping place. No stopping place. We've got to go all the way. And verse 30 says, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. I don't want that said about me. I will tell you how I once was. From a child, I loved the truth. My great aunt, I've told this many times. I love to tell it, and I'm going to tell it till I die. She was more like my grandma, but she's the one that taught me to love the truth. To have a desire for the truth. The truth is so important.
Yes.
And yet, I didn't follow it. I lived a life of pride. Growing up, I went to the altar just about every time there was a meeting. I wanted to live for the Lord, but I didn't have that determination to go all the way. And it was still there in my heart when I reached the age of 30. And that's when I say I got saved, never to give up again. I have not wavered. Well, I've been tempted. But I have not given up since then.
Yes.
And I do not intend to give up. You and I need to pray for one another.
Amen.
We need to pray for the saved. We need to pray for the lost. But I want to tell you, we need to pray for those that are saved, that they will keep saved.
Amen.
So this is a little life lesson. And I'm going to tell you now about a second house. And this house is located in Prattsville, Arkansas. And it was just this weekend as we passed through there that our son-in-law and our daughter drove us around and we happened to see this. And that's why it's fresh on my mind. Well, we went to look at some donkeys. But we saw something that might have been a house at one time. And so our son-in-law, Mark, he told us the story. It was a fine country home at one time. It had a family that they raised in that house. It was beautiful. And let's see, you and I, well, this is important. We couldn't see it. The house was so covered with brush and vines and trees that, and our son-in-law said, there's still a car, I believe a Chevy Bel Air, still in the garage. And so we're looking through the trees and you can see a car that could possibly be valuable now, but you can't back it out. It's every bit grown over. You can barely see the car in there. Well, it was pointed out to us about that what happened to this family. The family was raised. The children went out on their own. The parents lived in the house until they died. No doubt had their family in like they always planned to have grandchildren around. And so the parents died. And the children began to squabble. Who's going to get the house and the property? And in all of that, it was nobody got it. Oh, they still own it. But the one that wanted the house was denied that privilege. So, now here it is. The house is deteriorated, unlivable, probably still has the furniture in it. Everything's been untouched, but is no longer of any value. So what happened? Well, I can only read between the lines. Greed, maybe, and selfishness, and bitterness, and unforgiveness, and revenge. Even revenge was a part of this story. And no one benefited. Now, this is a house story. So, as I thought on all of this, I thought, you know, this has affected four generations. The first generation being the parents, their children, and now there's probably grandchildren for them. Four generations it went down through, passed down through. So the next scripture that I have, if Jesus were here and he was giving a life lesson for this, he was stopping all of us and saying, look at this. Look what could happen. And this is a life lesson. Because you and I are going to, if we live long enough, we're going to leave an inheritance for our children and possibly our grandchildren and so forth. Things happen when it comes down to the parents dying and leaving something to the children. So Jesus spoke about this in the 12th chapter of Luke in verses 12 through 15. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said, Jesus said, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And then Jesus said, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. If that lesson could have been taught to these children, would there be a different setting there? Possibly the house would have been kept up and a place for family to come and meet once a year and have a reunion, and now it is of no value. I want to say this to those of us that may come to the place that we leave an inheritance. Be fair. Yes. Leave your affairs in order. Now, this is not anything that I pull up a scripture with. This is just a little thought that we have. Be fair to your children. Don't favor one over the other. Don't cause bitterness to come into their hearts and lives. Don't cause unforgiveness to be their battle. Yes. be fair. Now, Jesus is more concerned about us not having covetousness and us being forgiving. He's more concerned about that than what we get as an inheritance from our family. But inheritances do happen. And I would say that's partly what deteriorated and destroyed this beautiful home place that could have been a blessing. And then as we think of the scripture over in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, see, all of these things should bring scripture to our mind. And we find the scripture starting at verse 12, and it says, "Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, and let it rather be healed." Observe your family even now. Observe if there is anything that would cause division in your children when you're gone. Look on it. Listen carefully. Observe how their reactions are, how they treat one another right now. Observe these things. And then because you are the parent, and because you're the one that can pray for your children more than anyone else, did you know that? Did you know it's good for us to put in prayer requests for our children? Pray for my unsaved children. I've got children I'm concerned about. But I want to tell you, God has designed it that we as parents, because we are their parents, and we love them far more than anybody else, that we can pray for our children more than anybody else, more effectively.
Yes.
So I want to just throw that in there. You carry a burden for your children. It's okay to ask someone else, "Carry a burden for my children with me." And we do that. But the true burden comes from that heart of the parent. So when it says here, "Rather let it be healed," you start praying for your children's healing.
Yes.
If they have attitudes that you see that will affect their future unity,
yes,
as a family. And then the next verse is what I'm sure that you follow: peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And then verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. If you see a little root of bitterness, whether it's in your life, God is faithful. We can look around at people and we can see the direction that they choose and the direction that they're going. And like has already been brought out, it's not wise to take, it's foolish to take this way. And maybe those of us looking on can see it. And we can even say, "What happened?" And I answered the question to a conversation like that one time. And I said, "There is one thing I know. God is faithful. Somewhere God dealt with that situation. Somewhere God sent a message. Somewhere God touched their heart in the dark of the night. Somewhere God was faithful." And they rode over it. And it's the same if we allow unforgiveness or bitterness in our lives. God's faithful. He brings conviction. He pricks our heart and our conscience. And He tries to awaken us. And maybe we even hear a message that says, if you do not forgive, God will not forgive you. If you've hardened your heart, that won't mean anything.
Right.
We must stay tender,
yes,
and pliable, that God can work with us, that we not fall into one of these traps and these snares. But look at your children. Watch your children. Observe their spirits. And you be the one to address bitterness if they cannot. So that's house number two. We have a third house. And we actually saw this house as we were coming on our trip. It was in Mississippi. Now, the terrain in Mississippi is very different from Oklahoma. It's, how do I describe it? Well, we went through a lot of country and a lot of trees and a lot of rolling
hills.
Yeah. It's different. And I was enjoying the scenery. But we came across or by a house. It had to have not been that old because it was sort of modern. All I could see was the roof. But it looked like a house that might be about 2,000 square feet or more beside the road. It probably was a very beautiful house. Just looking at the design of the roof, it had to have probably been a very nice house. But the trees and the brush and the vines, those are things that choke saints.
Yes, that's true.
Those things can grow up in your house and choke. Well, I only saw the roof. Everything else was grown up around. Well, I was actually talking to Cheryl Doolittle we went by, and I said, "Oh, Cheryl, you should have seen this house." And I described it to her, and she says, "Looks like to me that's a life lesson." And it is. Here's a house that's not real old. Here's a house that one time probably had a family. Here's a house that also had a family that dreamed and planned and built.
Yeah.
Building can be fun. I enjoyed it. But do you know it takes some maintenance after it's built?
Yes.
But this family also has it. Evidently, again, I don't know the reason why this house was empty, but it was empty. And do you know that a house that is empty, you can see it readily? Have you ever seen a house that maybe hasn't been lived in for a while, and maybe they even have the curtains drawn or the blinds drawn, and there's just an air? That house is empty. But other things happen when people do not live in a house and take care of a house and take care of the yard and take care of all that it is that we have to take care of in a house. And so pretty soon it begins to cry empty. And as it goes on, again, it does exactly like the house that was not finished. Animals and birds and squirrels. Squirrels can get into a house just fairly easy.
Mice,
rats, snakes. It looked snaky around there, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Well, that's what this house did. And it made me think about decay. When you build a new house, if you have done that, or if you move into a new house, what is your emotion? Isn't it a first love? Don't you just love this house and you want to care for it and you want to keep it up and you want to, if something goes wrong, you don't let it just stay that way. If it gets a leak in the roof, you don't just put a bucket under it and live on. You try to fix the roof. If a person leaves their first love, even living in a house, they will become negligent.
Yeah.
They won't keep it as clean, and they won't enjoy the landscaping that they once put a lot of effort in to put out. You like landscaping? You like flowers? I do. I enjoy those kind of things. It doesn't take very long for the weeds and the other things to grow up. It's the same with us spiritually.
Yes, that's true.
You and I are going to have to take care of our house. We're going to have to take care of the weeds that would try to grow up and choke our house. So, I have a scripture now with this one again. This one's in Proverbs. You know where I'm probably going. 24 verses 30 through 34, and it says, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. Oh, we need understanding, don't we? It's more important of how my house ends up than how my literal house will survive. All that we have is going to burn up. When the end comes, all of your fine homes and whatever you treasured that are in there is going to be of no value. It's going to burn up. But about your soul, which is only in your hands, the scripture says, my soul is continually in my hands. Yes, we bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, but I'm going to tell you, no one is going to answer for your soul but you. And I'm going to answer for my soul. So this writer here said, I went by a field and it was not taken care of, and it showed that the man did not have understanding. And lo, it was grown over with these things that I have just described that has destroyed literal homes.
Yes.
Thorns, nettles, they covered the face of it. And the stone wall was broken down. Do you know what the stone wall represents? It represents protection.
Yes.
When you and I become careless and we let down and we allow the nettles and the briars and whatever other thing you could describe in the spiritual realm to choke you, I want to tell you, the protection goes down. This wall was broken down, and it said, I saw, and I considered it well, and I looked upon it and received instructions. You know what? We've had a number of messages here that we all need to take home with us and receive instructions.
Yes.
Because this sort of goes along with those. I believe the Lord is saying, wake up.
Yes.
Take care of your own soul. Time is running out. And you're going to stand before me. And we may be like Brother Michael said, really? Was I really that faithful? I remember, and some of you from Guthrie would remember this too, but Sister Marcia White, she had cancer, and she died young. I mean, I counted it young.
Yes.
And her hospice nurse asked her one time, Marcia, what are you going to do, the first thing you're going to do when you get to heaven? She says, I'm going to bow on my knees and thank God that I made it for the first 1,000 years. I think that's how we're going to feel.
Yes.
If we make it.
Yes.
But it's going to take something to make it. Just as it takes something to keep up your house, literal house, you're going to have to work double hard.
That's right.
To keep up your spiritual house.
Yes.
You're going to have to be like this man that's observed these things, and he took instruction and he considered it and all of the things that have been said, even in this meeting. We need to hold them to our hearts Keep them fresh in our minds. You have a garden. And there's some things that are foolish. Run from foolishness. Be wise. We need those things to follow us wherever we go. So this man, he said, he took, the writer here, he received instruction, and this is what he found out. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come. I'm going to tell you, spiritually, if you go to sleep, that's why that scripture is in there. Awake, awake, O Zion! Don't sleep. You know the five wise and the five foolish. We all know that. We read it. We always look at it and say, oh, I'm going to be wise. I'm not going to be one of the foolish. I'm going to go. And Brother Marty last night said, he spoke of that lamp, just carrying a lamp for the sake of carrying a lamp. Keep your lamp full. Check the level of the fuel in it periodically, often, not just periodically, often. Make sure that you have it full. But do you know what they all did? They all slumbered and slept. We're all going to have our sleepy times. We're all going to have to work to stay awake spiritually. Don't you find that? You're going to have to stir yourself. In one place he said, to stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. We're going to have to, you, all of us are going to have to stir ourselves. I'm going to say something here. It's common to us as people. When we get down to pray, oh, I tell you what, I could just about preach another message on this one. I have at home. When you and I get down to pray, are we verbalizing our agreement in prayer? Did you know there's power in unity?
That's true.
That there's power in agreement?
That's true.
And the church needs that.
Amen.
And oftentimes, I am afraid we are so drowsy that we're not even listening to the words of the one that is praying. And you and I need to stir ourselves. And we need to be saying, yes, Lord bless, Lord work. Did you? I challenge you all. Get some old time messages that was recorded. Monarch. And you know what? They didn't even have microphones. And we could still hear them. And we had the old reel-to-reel recorders. And just some kind of a little mic up here. We're so blessed. We have this kind of a speaker system. Everybody can hear. And then, at that time, I want to tell you, there were amens supporting the message.
Amen.
There was, I'm going to tell you, I feel like the ministers are letting down a little bit.
Amen.
We need to be saying amen for an example to those that are coming on. We need to be verbal. Brother Michael said it last night too, or this morning, I'm not sure. He said, speak where you can be heard. We need to get down on our knees at prayer time. This is an important thing. This is the church of God going forward.
Amen.
We need to be saying amen. We need to be saying praise the Lord. Let it come from a pure heart and be true. I'm telling you, the enemy wants us to be dead spiritually. He wants us to be silent. I want to challenge the young people. You can be an example to your own generation.
That's right.
But get it in your heart and say, I'm going to support the Word. I'm going to support the truth. I'm going to press beyond that feeling of saying, amen, and think everybody's looking at me. I remember the first time the Lord dealt with me. And I remember the first time I ever said, amen. I thought the whole church turned and looked at me. We went to Monarch to do some work on our camper. So we went up and looked at the new tabernacle. Oh, that's a whole nother message too. But there was a young person working up there, and we were reminiscing a little bit, and we were talking about how that the ministers supported one another years ago and how everybody is so silent now. I was sort of going over this, and this young brother, I count him young, he's probably 30, but you know what he said? He came up to me and he said, you know, Sister Maxine, the Lord is dealing with me about doing that.
Amen.
Supporting the message. And I said, praise the Lord. Oh, I want to tell you, I'd like to hear it a little bit more than just seeing the shake of a head.
Yeah.
I appreciate the shakes of your heads. Now, I'm going to tell you, I appreciate it. In our congregation, we had a sister, Sister Velda. She was a supporter of the message.
That's true.
And I depended on it. Now, we can't depend on it. We can't let ourselves get dependent on the amens. We just can't. But I depended on Sister Velda, and then she died. And our poor little congregation can be pretty quiet. And, you know, I see them shaking their heads, and so I'm accepting that. But you know what I had to do? I had to consecrate to not hearing the words, amen, or praise the Lord, or whatever. I had to consecrate to it and go on without it. And that's where we are now. I don't know how I got off on all of that.
You're doing all right. Go ahead.
Well, I guess we're talking about the field of the slothful. Well, now I have another scripture. I'll bring my thought back in. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. And I'm going to read 14 through 16. And this is an admonition in reality. It says, neglect not the gift that is in thee.
Oh, yes,
do you have a gift this morning? Are you using some gift in your life or in your house? Did you know God has a gift for all of us? And if we're saved, we have the gift of salvation. So you do have a gift. But I want to tell you, God's calling for us to covet earnestly the best gifts.
That's true.
And I'm going to say this, don't be afraid to do it. A number of years ago, I was down praying one morning, and that thought came to my mind, that scripture, covet earnestly the best gifts. And I felt a draw of the Holy Spirit to do it. And yet I said to the Lord, Lord, how can I ask for this gift? I might not be qualified. And the Lord spoke to me immediately and He said, I will qualify you. It takes us seeking for it. It takes us asking for it. So God is wanting His people to be blessed and receive these gifts and allow them to operate in the church. And we don't want to neglect the gift that is in thee. And then it says in verse 15, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. Young people, that's how you're going to make it.
Yes.
You're not too young to give yourself wholly, wholly, to the work of God.
That's right.
Seek the Lord. Lord, do you know my future? Oh, young men, I like seeing these young men right here. Seek the Lord to guide your life, to prepare you for whomever He wants to put in your life. If you have the right companion, it makes all of the difference in the world in what you can do later. Makes all the difference. Meditate upon these things and give yourself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Your house will look well kept, well trimmed, well maintained. And then it says, take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine. You know, a lot of people don't like to hear that word doctrine. They almost get scared when you start preaching on doctrine. Doctrine is very important. Doctrine is nothing more than teaching.
That's right.
And it's somebody said, well, you can worship the doctrines. I want to tell you, you better be worshiping Christ who gives the doctrines.
Amen.
It's Christ's doctrine. And we need to give ourselves wholly to them for our own house. It says, continue in the doctrines. For in doing so, thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. And I'm going to add here too, you'll save your children. Unless you give yourself wholly, you will hinder your children. It's got to be that example. So that's our little thought there. And then I have one more house. This house is on our street. And we live in a normal neighborhood. And one of our houses on our street was a rent house. Renters don't really keep up a house. And they don't keep up the yard. And so it was beginning to have the trees grow up around the house. And oh, I hated it. I had to drive by that house every time I left my neighborhood and every time I returned. And I always looked at that house and I thought, oh, I wish that house looked better. Well, then one day, somebody bought that house. And they gutted it. They totally redid it, put a new roof on, put new windows in. And I'd tell my husband when we'd go by, I said, I can't wait. I want to go inside and look at this house. So one day I just stopped my car and I went up and I said, can I look inside the house? And it wasn't finished yet. But oh, I loved it. And now it's finished and it's beautiful. And it's an asset. If you got a house that's in ill repair, it can be made new.
Amen.
And I tell you, it's just brightened our street. That's what the Lord wants to do. He wants to make all things new. He said, old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. That's what He's wanting to do. Not only individually, He wants to do it as your family. He wants to do it in the congregation and in the whole church of God. We want to be on fire for the church of God. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost dwell in you and stir you.
Amen.
Don't be afraid to say, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, thank the Lord. Well, final home. What is our final home? It's a home. It's more than a home. It's a mansion. Now, we have somebody that wrote a song one time and said, just give me a little cabin over in the corner of Glory Land. Don't want something less than what God has for you.
Right.
You and I may look at mansions now, and if I looked at a mansion, I'd just be tired to even look at all the work that it would take to keep it up. I'd feel tired right then. But I want to tell you something. The mansion that's being prepared for you and me, it will never deteriorate. It will never have the vines growing over it. It will never have any of these earthly things. And you will be rejoicing. Live in your mansion. Prepare yourself for your mansion that is in glory.
Amen.
Oh, thank the Lord. There is a song. A lot of songs are written about the theme of home. But it says, there's one song that came to my mind this morning. I've got a mansion just over the hill. I don't know, I probably didn't keep that timing right. In that great land we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we'll never more wander, but walk the streets of purest gold. You're going to have to keep up your house here if you hope to have a house there, a mansion. So, we started out and we talked about this old house and all of that. And that's what you have to work with. That's all you're responsible for. You're going, well, we're responsible for more, but ultimately, you're responsible for your own house. Desire your prayers. I want to make heaven.